One axle excludes machining rotors or drums. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 5/31/13.
Morning, it's 8:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top local story, Utah Republicans will select a new state party leader at their annual organizing convention today. They will also consider revamping the party's caucus and convention system to nominate party candidates in an effort to increase voter participation. Retiring GOP Chair Thomas Wright says he wants to improve the caucus system.
We need to get our online registration going. We need to figure out alternative ways of balloting so the meeting doesn't run till 11 or 12 o'clock. But the caucus convention system is working. We have to look at it and say, what can we make better about it and kind of take it into the next era?
Former Congressman Jim Hansen thinks both parties should do away with the caucus system and go straight to an open primary. The search for a West Valley woman who's been missing for 3.5 years was featured in an article published in People magazine this week. Susan Powell's remains were not found in the search near Salem, Oregon. Police did find bones, probably from animals. At a press conference Monday, as many as 31,000 pages of information on the case will be released by West Valley Police. Bronze plaques honoring fallen police officers are being placed around Salt Lake City near the locations where they died in the line of duty. The plaques include pictures and a brief history of what happened.
It may be 10, 20, 30, 100 years from now, and people are going to walk by and read about it.
Detective Dan Wellenboth says memories of fallen officers would likely fade, but now they will never be forgotten. It also makes it easier for family and friends to go forward. Coming up on KSL News Radio, it's a rainy Saturday, rainy weekend. Check your KSL forecast next. KSL News Time, 8:05.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Nutrimulch reminds you that the First Amendment to your soil's constitution should always be Nutrimulch. You see, without this important amendment, you would never get to the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms full of produce away from your garden to protect your family's security. Nutrimulch gives us all the freedom from progressive soil deterioration. Nutrimulch gives us the freedom to use less water. Nutrimulch provides freedom to be more productive. E Pluribus Nutrimulch. Nutrimulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See Nutrimulch.com. Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutra-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See Nutra-Mulch.com.
She goes on to WebMD.
When her kid's shot, just head on over to the ER.
1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Traffic looks good and it's light along the Wasatch Front. Some rain on the roads and all along the, all over the state, really, as scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue through the day. I just looked at the satellite. Quite a cell of storm activity all over the Wasatch. 63 today, 48 tonight. Don't miss the Scandinavian Festival Memorial Weekend, May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim, Utah. Festivities include a Scandinavian dinner, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, historical tours, craft, and food booths. Visit ScandinavianFestival.org. 50 degrees now at 8:08. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny
it's
day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
And here we go with another week of the KSL Greenhouse as we begin hour number one. It's nice to have you with us, as always, listening this morning. 7 o'clock on the KSL Greenhouse. Tim Hughes actually on the road today in Missoula, Montana, where it continues to be a bit drizzly out there this morning. And as I mentioned on the outdoor show, we rode in yesterday on the Harley-Davidson, and it was pretty much drizzly all the way from Malad Pass there in the very northern tip of Utah, where it links up with the state line of Idaho all the way up into Missoula, Montana. So much of the West getting this rain today. Ton Bettis is the horticulturist from Utah State University, joins me every week. And Ton, much-needed precipitation. I guess people hopefully will remember to turn their sprinkler systems off here for a little while.
Yes, as I was driving in this morning, I was thinking, oh, this is cool. I don't have to water my lawn up in Hiram again for another week. As long as there's temperature stay in the low 80s, I can back off that water and just hold off for a little bit. And this is always nice because for whatever reason, Mother Nature does a much better job of watering my lawn than I do with the sprinklers, and I don't have any dry spots after a rainstorm. So I'll take the rain anytime.
Yeah, you don't have to wonder whether the sprinkler head is positioned correctly when Mother Nature's doing the job.
No.
Much needed precipitation. We were having this conversation last night that, there in the northern part of Utah, we were in the 75 to 80 to percentile, and it's much the same up here in the Missoula area, about 75% of their regular snowpack. So anytime we get the opportunity to preserve some of the water that's in those reservoirs, we need to make sure that we take that opportunity and do it and make sure and turn the sprinkling systems off. And you bring up a good point. If the temperatures stay around 80, which is pretty much normal for this time of year, you can leave them off for another week or so.
Yes, you can. I was surprised this year that this is the first year I've had to water my lawn up in Cache Valley before June 1st, and I know we're dry. And so this rain helps out very much. And, and it'll be in a week or two, but we do have one of USU specialists coming on to promote a water check program that a lot of the water conservation districts sponsor to make sure your sprinklers are running efficiently. And that will be timed with when we start to get a little bit hotter.
All right. So we'll look forward to that. Speaking of looking at the weeks ahead, I'll mention this a couple of times, but next week, J.D. Gunnell and Jerry are going to stop in. And so J.D. and Jerry will be filling your spot, and we're going to be talking about a new wildflower book that we're looking forward to exploring with them on next week's show.
Yes, this book they put together, it was about 4 or 5 years of work. They were gone every weekend or every once a month, at least one day a month, the entire year. I'm surprised that JD's wife stuck with them through the whole thing. I say that kind of sarcastically, JD, if you're listening, but I know that it was a huge task, and that, to put this thing together, a lot of people sacrificed, and they're selling it through USU, and they're not really selling it much above cost just to get it out there. And it's the best Rocky Mountain wildflower book I've seen, and it's very understandable to the general public, but they'll be bringing that on and talking about it. And then JD and Jerry are always fun together, and they'll do a good job.
Yeah, so look forward to that next week. We're going to talk, and we'll hold this conversation for hour number two and three today about getting started with your gardens? Because I know a lot of people in my neighborhood, on mostly on our advice, I think, but also the fact that it's last day of average frost in our part of the state. Around Mother's Day, a lot of people were out getting their gardens planted, getting all of their cold season crops in the ground. So we look forward to talking about that, how to plant, when to plant, what to plant, and getting your garden off to a good start. So we'll do that. But I wanted to mention to everybody, and first of all, thank you publicly for braving the trip out to the Hughes compound this week to take a look at some turf problems I've been having, or at least I'm trying to prevent. And I just got an email back from Ryan up at USU letting me know that they found no bugs and no pathogens. So I don't know if that's good news or not, because I still have what looks like to be a problem.
Yes, and that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of times we'll go out and take a look at lawns and things. And a lot of times if the person that goes and looks at the lawn, whether it's me or JD or Jerry, if we can't determine what's going on there in the yard, we send it on up to the PhD level folks on campus. And if they can't figure out what's going on, we're all kind of scratching our heads. And on one level, I feel good that I didn't miss something obvious, but it can be a conundrum. And, you know, with horticulture, and I guess it was with everything else, there's not absolutes. And sometimes it just takes a lot more digging. And so, I mean, that is very common, unfortunately, that, you know, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you look at, it just, you know, sometimes can be really hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and watching you do the diagnosis there on hands and knees in my front yard reminded me that it would be a good time probably to talk to people about doing a little of that investigative work themselves. You don't necessarily have to get the shovel or the spade out and start digging up your front yard. What we did, where we had some dead spots, and mine's kind of been dying out in little spots around, was just go to that spot and pull the grass back. See if it pulls up easily, which is something we've always talked about on the show. Larry Sagers would always mention, you know, tug on that and see if it comes up easily. If it comes up easily, that's the first indication you might have a bug of some kind that's taking the roots out.
Yes, and that's exactly what to do. My general diagnostic pattern on this is I'll take a long screwdriver, like Larry would recommend, and I stick it in the ground in the brown spot, and if it does not go in easily, and it's usually drought stress, and that can be remedied. But if it goes in easily, I know there's enough water. So tug on the grass, see if there's any bugs. If it's rooted and I know it's not water and I know it isn't bugs, you know, and those roots are there, then oftentimes it's a pathogen or something else going on. And that's when I usually will bring USU's diagnostic lab in, because they have the equipment to tease a lot of these things out better than I can do, quote unquote, in the field.
Yeah. Well, and this is the first time that I've ever had a sample of my turf area sent off to be diagnosed. So it was kind of a cool process for me just to see how it goes, because we recommend doing this all the time. But I thought it was also fair to mention that nothing was found, and yet we see that there is a pattern of something going on.
There is, and sometimes
it's not uncommon.
Yeah, I apologize. Sometimes those pictures, you know, that they like to get can make all the difference in the world. Sometimes they don't, but boy, it's oftentimes is very useful.
Yeah, and I think it's a good indicator of why it's so tough to diagnose these problems on this show, because there are so many things that it could be, or it could be nothing. I thought it was fair to mention that this week, and you know, I'll keep everybody posted. Ryan did ask for some photos, as you mentioned, so that they can see the pattern and see if there's anything to it that they might be able to recognize just from the photos.
Good. Yeah, they do a fantastic job up there. And unfortunately, no matter how good anybody is, you know, it can be tough. You know, a lot of times the brown grass is just like going to the doctor and saying, well, I'm dizzy and I have a headache, you know, and it could be any number of things beyond that causing it.
Yeah. All right. In a couple of weeks, June 7th and 8th, the Utah County Master Gardeners are having their 17th annual Hidden Garden Tour. You dropped me an email on this, and I want to be mentioning this over the next couple of weeks. First of all, because we want people to be involved and to enjoy this long-running Hidden Garden Tour that we always get great reports on. But the second reason is that proceeds are going to benefit the Larry Sager's Endowment Fund at Utah State University. And we haven't talked a lot about this since Larry's passing, but I did have a conversation with his wife, Diane, not long ago. And I know that the fund is a little bit short of the money needed to have it self-sustaining, you know, on and on and on, so that that endowment fund can benefit future students up there. And so we're going to be mentioning this over the next couple of weeks, that there are more than several reasons why you should get out and participate. But it's June 7th and 8th, Utah County Master Gardeners 17th Annual Hidden Garden Tour. And the proceeds are going to benefit the Larry Sager's Endowment Fund, which we are trying to get fully funded so that it can, you know, take care of students' needs in the future. So
yes.
We'll be dropping that in. Have you got contact information on that, by
the way? I do. I mean, if you Google Hidden Garden Tour, it'll bring up the site. We probably should put it on the Greenhouse site, but it'll tell you the addresses. And one thing I'm excited about is we actually have Lakai Restaurant on the tour this year, and they have some fabulous things going on. There's a garden. They've got their own vineyard, some greenhouses. They grow a lot of what they use in the restaurant, and you know, you usually don't get access to that as the in the general public. And the Lakai, I know it's been one of the premier, it is one of the premier restaurants in Utah, but they have agreed to provide lunch for $15 for participants, which is a fabulous deal, especially considering the location and the restaurant with that. And so that is will be a big highlight this year, but I'm excited about it. We actually had some of the organizers stop by and give us tickets to give away on the first week of June. So we'll have four sets of tickets to give away to that also.
All right. Look forward to doing that in the weeks ahead. So put that on the calendar again. It's the 7th and 8th. We'll take our break here. Let me get some phone numbers out. If you want to be first in line to get some questions answered today, good time to do it at KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. Down in Utah County, it's a toll-free call, 470-5751. And also in Davis and Weber County, toll-free 670-5751 with that area code 801 ahead of it, of course. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the first of those phone calls next on this week's KSL Greenhouse with Tim and Tom.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
who made the dinosaurs go away?
Well, I'm not sure anyone really knows how the dinosaurs...
Where's that person so big? Does she have a baby in their tummy?
Susie, that's not exactly appropriate.
Where do bugs go in the wintertime?
How do the fish sleep?
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
How do birds fly?
Why can't dogs talk?
Well, why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
Why is the sky blue?
How do trees get so tall?
Why is dirt brown?
Where does the water in the bathtub go?
Are we there yet?
Why can't you keep your eyes open when you're sneezing?
It doesn't grow on trees. Where does it grow?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Of course, sweetie, come on in.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
During the month of June, the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manta presents dramatic scenes from the Book of Mormon and early church history.
This year's performances are June 20th through the 29th, except for Sunday and Monday.
In the peaceful San Pete Valley.
I love to sit at the foot of the Manti Temple and watch the pageant every summer.
Bring your family and invite your friends and neighbors to the Mormon Miracle Pageant.
The pageant leaves you with such a wonderful, peaceful feeling. I really love it.
Discover why thousands of people bring their families to Manti and the Mormon Miracle Pageant each year.
Oh, you know, it's been years since I've seen the Mormon Miracle Pageant, but this year I'm going to bring the whole family to have the pageant experience.
Presented at the foot of the Manti Temple under the stars, the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah.
June 20th through the 29th, except for Sunday and Monday. In Manti, Utah, rediscover the Mormon Miracle Pageant and bring someone with you.
Performances begin at 9:30 p.m. and are free of charge. Go to mormonmiracle.org and follow us on Facebook. Sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a
difference. My goal is to help the environment.
Someday, I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
On May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim City in beautiful San Pete County,
Scandinavian roots surround you with a genuine Scandinavian festival.
Fun, free, and unique activities for the whole family. Information at
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Featuring a Scandinavian Heritage Conference Thursday evening and Friday morning. Elder Russell M. Nelson will be the keynote Thursday speaker and will share some of his heritage in San Pete Valley and the importance of family history. Other presentations include Scandinavian Pioneer History and Art, May 23rd through the 25th in the town of Ephraim.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Friday noon through Saturday at dusk, the festival grounds on the north side of Snow College campus will buzz with costumes, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, and
the kids will have fun with our parade and places to play, delicious foods, and beautifully costumed dancers.
Don't miss the BYU International Folk Dancers on Saturday evening. A short drive from just about anywhere in Utah.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Good, better, best. Good is choosing a certified public accountant to help you with your financial records and taxes. Better is one with experience and knowledge of your personal and business needs. Best is one who belongs to the Utah Association of CPAs. As you think about your tax return preparation this year, especially in the light of the confusing and always changing tax laws, consider this. CPAs will save you the most money on your taxes. CPAs are more competitive price-wise than the big box store preparation guys. CPAs are the most qualified to prepare your taxes and get you the most money back you deserve. Along with extensive tax expertise, CPAs can also provide you business advising, financial planning, general accounting, and investment advising. Hire a CPA and be sure you're getting the most out of your taxes. Go to uacpa.org to find a CPA that's right for you. That's uacpa.org. Brought to you by the Utah Association of CPAs.
Get help with annuals, container planting, and the greenest grass on the block. The KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you listening to the KSL Greenhouse for another week. And with you, as always, until 11 o'clock this morning. Tom, go ahead and give a mention for that. What is it, Baby Animal Days or something that's going on?
The Utah State University Botanical Center in Kaysville is sponsoring Baby Animal Days. And do you know what? May 10th and 11th. So I might be a week off on that, Tim.
Oh, so it's already happened.
It's already happened. So trying to give a shout out to the Botanical Center, and I'm a week off. I thought JD mentioned it was going this week. So
that's all right.
I apologize, but give some love to the Botanical Center anyway. So
yes, yeah, still lots of reasons to get up there and tell Jerry and everybody that worked so hard on that hello. Let's take some phone calls here. Cheryl, I think, was the first one up. Cheryl, welcome into the greenhouse. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be on. Thank you. I have crabapple trees, and our neighbor has aspen trees. And a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about a new product, I thought you said. I only heard the tail end of it, that you could put on them that didn't hurt the mother tree.
Well, there's a product. It's actually been out there for around 10 years called Sucker Stopper.
Oh, okay.
And what you would do is clip the suckers and then spray them immediately. You know, you clip them to the ground and then spray them immediately. And from that point, those suckers usually won't grow back for the season. Now, you will play cat and mouse a little bit with suckers, you know, that might come up in a different spot, but it does greatly reduce the number of suckers that come up.
But it doesn't hurt the mother tree?
Not at all.
Okay, okay. Now, Sucker
Stopper.
Stopper.
That yes, and a bottle of it will be around $20 or $25, but it'll last you for 2-3 years at least, so it's actually pretty economical.
Listen, if it stops them from growing, it's a lot of work every year. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
All right.
Have a good day.
Cheryl, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. I've said this before, but I always appreciate things that are named, you know, exactly what they're supposed to do. And it makes it easy for you. It does what? It stops suckers. It's called what? It's a sucker stopper. Not much to have to remember in that one. Lois, where are you calling from? Welcome into the greenhouse.
Hi, I'm calling from Sandy, and I have peach tree questions. About 4 years ago, we took two diseased cherry trees out of our backyard, and we waited a year, and then we planted two peach trees where those cherry trees were. We had the bark ground, the roots ground down and everything, and thought, well, we'll wait for a year. Well, so one of our cherry trees is doing, or peach trees is doing great, growing well, about 3 inches in diameter, the trunk is. The other little peach tree died, and so we waited another year and put another little peach tree in. And this one isn't doing well either. The top of it, I could break it off. It was dead, but there's one little branch with a few little green leaves on it. Now, is that area where the peach trees, the one died and this one isn't doing very well, do you think it was just too diseased and the soil wasn't good, or shall I go ahead and baby this one along and try to see if we can get it growing?
If it's in the ground, I would try to baby it along. Maybe give it a little fertilizer. Don't over-fertilize it. And see if you can bring it out of whatever funk it has. A lot of times, you know, the cherries and peaches are fairly closely related, and so diseases that would impact a cherry will also impact peach. And we don't recommend going into that same spot for actually, if, you know, several years sometimes, when you'd follow up with, say, an apple or a pear or something in that spot, because there are some, you know, at least more distance in the relations on those. But go ahead and see what you can do. If it dies again, I would go ahead and put a peach, even if it was 10 feet away, in a slightly different spot, so it's not in the same exact soil.
Okay, all right. And then a question about black medic. We've been trying to kill that forever. Will we ever get rid of it, and what should I use this year on it?
Black medic is one that I didn't see when I was younger, but it's really come in over the last 10 or 15 years, and it's a bad one. It's a biennial or a short-lived perennial weed, and you think it's clover, but it's low-growing and spreading, and it's actually very closely related to alfalfa. And so what to do about it? The first thing is, a lot of times when black medic comes in, it's because your soil might be a little too compacted and or mowing the lawn too low.
Okay.
And so I know that I've seen several lawns that are mowed about an inch to an inch and a half too short, and black medic becomes a bad problem. So raise your mower heights, if you haven't already, so that you're mowing at about 2.5 or 3 inches. Water deeply, less often. And then short-term wise, use a pre-emergent such as Gallery or Dimension or Barricade. Put that down, if you didn't already in the spring, put it down now, and then about 60 days later if you use Dimension or Barricade.
Okay. Okay, all right. Thank you very much. I learned so much from your show. I'm so
thank
glad you.
You
have it.
Thank you. As far as the spray, that stuff is very hard to spray out because it has a waxy coating on the leaf, and there's some leaf hairs that make it a little bit resistant to a lot of herbicides. If you need to use something, I would use something along the lines of Weed Free Zone or Speed Zone that has the ability to penetrate in, but you've got to be careful on your temperatures and make sure it's below 85 degrees when you apply that.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
You're
all right,
welcome.
Lois. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We're up against the news here for the half hour, so we'll break. But Angie is next in Salt Lake City. Angie, be patient. We'll get to you right out of the news. And if you want to get in line, it's a good time to do it at KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. More of the KSL Greenhouse coming right up.
Hey, Mom, can we go rollerblading?
Oh, not tonight, sweetie. Maybe another night.
Mom. Parents who spend time with their kids in their younger years have a better chance of being close to their kids in those difficult teen years. I'm 12 right now, and when I turn 13, I'll become a whole different person, someone you won't even know. I'll be a roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes so sweet, you'll wonder what my motives are. And sometimes I'll burst into tears because I can't find my biology book.
Okay.
And what about when I start dating? You bring home some guy who wants to take me away to Burma and live in a yurt.
A what?
How are you going to deal with that if we're not close?
Get your blades, honey.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
Mom, I can't find my rollerblades.
Oh, boy.
Who took my rollerblades?
Okay, calm down. We'll find it.
Just kidding.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Good morning. It's 8:33 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. Some heavy rains in areas along the Wasatch Front. Some heavy rain in Sandy. Also in Box Elder and Weber County, there's some reporting of some sandbagging being necessary this morning to keep rain and water out of basements. A search for a missing West Valley woman made headlines in an article published in People magazine this week. Susan Powell's remains were not found in the search near Salem, Oregon. Police did find bones, probably from animals.
We're going to continue searching for our daughter, and I think getting people aware of the situation, that things are changing a little bit. Nothing wrong with that, really.
Susan Powell's father, Chuck Cox, says he has received tips, calls, and updates for 3.5 years. As many as 31,000 pages of information on the case will be released by West Valley Police on Monday. Utah's unemployment rate fell another 0.2% in April to 4.7%. The national unemployment rate, 7.5. The Utah Department of Workforce Services says the largest job increases in April were in the transportation industry, professional and business services, and the leisure and hospitality industry. Governor Gary Herbert says Utah is fully out of the recession and is a model of economic recovery to the rest of the country. The wife of Thomas S. Monson, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, passed away at a Salt Lake hospital Friday morning. Although she is gone, Francis Monson's life was influenced many, like community advocate Pamela Atkinson.
She was a beautiful lady, so very gracious. And one of the things I liked about her was her smile.
Frances Monson struggled in recent years with failing health due to her age. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. In his weekly address, President Obama introduced his administration's plan to create more jobs for middle-class Americans. Mr. Obama listed three areas where the White House will focus.
One, making America a magnet for good jobs. Two, making sure our workers have the education and skills they need to do those jobs. And three, making sure your hard work leads to a decent living.
Coming up on KSL News Radio, more of the same rain into Sunday. Forecast on the way, KSL News Time, 8:35.
Breaking news, traffic, and weather. Every 30 minutes, all morning, all day, and all night. Constant updates on KSL News Radio.
Access RV has doubled the size of their lot, which means twice as many travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, and truck campers, all priced now at record low sale prices. Looking for a travel trailer? Buy a new Viking travel trailer for only $79.95 or a new Grey Wolf 28BH travel trailer with more than $4,000 in free options, now only $17,998. Looking for a truck camper? Access RV is one of the country's largest truck camper dealers, selling 8 of the 10 top truck camper brands, all on sale now at record low prices. Like a new Bronco pop-up truck camper for only $85.89, or a new Travel Light hardside truck camper only $89.98, or the Adventure 80GS four-season camper with slide-out and bath at only $15,989. Competitive financing is available from over 30 lenders, plus buy in May and have no payments until the end of summer OAC. Check out their full selection at 2240 South State in Salt Lake or online at accessrv.com.
Hypopharyngeal.
Kaposi sarcoma.
Adrenocortical carcinoma.
Cancer names can be complex. Beating it can be too. Malignant fibrous histiocytoma? There's nothing simple about cancer. Even its names can be hard to pronounce.
Osteosarcoma.
Retinoblastoma. Each has different symptoms and requires different treatments. And depending on your type, there are a variety of techniques used to fight it.
gastrointestinal carcinoid tumor. That's why if you're diagnosed with cancer, the simplest decision should be who to involve in your fight. Intermountain Healthcare. Here, we wield technology proven successful against cancer with a team of skilled doctors who know exactly how to use it, no matter if you can pronounce your cancer type or not.
Thymoma and thymic carcinoma.
Intermountain Cancer Centers. Healing for life.
On May 23rd through the 25th in Ephraim City in beautiful San Pete County,
Scandinavian roots surround you with a genuine Scandinavian festival.
Fun, free, and unique activities for the whole family. Information at
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Featuring a Scandinavian Heritage Conference Thursday evening and Friday morning, Elder Russell M. Nelson will be the keynote Thursday speaker and will share some of his heritage in San Pete Valley and the importance of family history. Other presentations include Scandinavian Pioneer History and Art, May 23rd through the 25th in the town of Ephraim.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Friday noon through Saturday at dusk, the festival grounds on the north side of Snow College campus will buzz with costumes, dancing, storytelling, entertainment, and
the kids will have fun with our parade and places to play, delicious foods, and beautifully costumed dancers.
Don't miss the BYU International Folk Dancers on Saturday evening. A short drive from just about anywhere in Utah.
ScandinavianHeritageFestival.com.
Browsers with Jay McFarland and Amy Iverson. 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. A light rain and light traffic along the Wasatch. Don't see any problems on the freeways or surface streets. If you see a problem, let me know. 801-575-6397. Rain this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms all day. 63, tonight 48. And rainy again on the way for tomorrow. 48 degrees at 8:39. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Dial now to get the help you need with your plants inside and out. Call KSL Talk. That's 575-8255 to get KSL News Radio.
Todd, do me a favor. When I get back and we're both in studio, will you remind me to cut the head off of this chicken dance so that Jeff's not tempted anymore?
He requested this.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm strangely addicted to the chicken dance.
Yeah, blame Todd. Holy cow. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. You can always tell when Tim's out of studio because Jeff will play the chicken dance for us each and every week. We've got Teresa on the line in Draper. Nancy's also in Midvale, but we'll start with Angie, who's in Salt Lake City. Ange, thanks for your patience. What's going on?
Hi, I started some container gardening this year, and my strawberries are looking pretty sad. The leaves are crunchy on the outside. They're not looking very good. Now, I have been able to put water and doing the things that I need to do, but the strawberries are just looking bad. Is there something that I can do to help them?
My first question is, are the strawberries U of U fans? No, I'm just kidding. On your strawberries, the first question I really actually need to ask, what kind of soil did you put into the pot?
I put in the pot a soil that is from the over at Home Depot. Oh. There's an earth, some kind of earth.
Probably ready earth, and it's a pretty good mix. I just wanted to make sure you didn't put your native soil into the pot because that can create a lot of problems. And then where did the strawberries come from?
The strawberries came from Walmart.
So they're new plants also?
Yes, they're new plants also.
And
but
how
I've
long?
I've had them in for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And they were looking fine. But a couple days ago, I looked and they were starting to the poor little leaves are starting to get crumbly.
That can be common on newly transplanted plants, no matter what they are. So they'll go through a little bit of transplant shock. How wet has the soil been kept?
Well, I've been keeping it pretty wet.
I would dry it out a little bit. Let it get bone dry and make sure that you have good drainage at the bottom of the pot, but let that get a little bit dry between irrigations because those roots actually like to go through a cycle of wet to relatively dry back to wet. And sometimes if they get too wet for an extended period of time, it actually will rot the roots off.
Okay. And is that okay? And then the other question that I have is I have oregano and thyme and it hasn't come up yet. It's supposed to germinate in 10 days.
And how long has it been in?
It's probably been in for about 2 weeks.
Be patient with it and see what you can do. On the oregano and thyme and different things, that soil, the watering for it's different than what you would do for the strawberry transplants.
Okay.
To where you would actually keep the soil relatively moist all of the time, and you don't want it to dry out at all, but you don't want to drown the poor seeds.
Okay.
And so once the soil's moist and you put the seed in, you can actually use just almost like a sprayer that you would use for ironing and put a mist of water over that soil. You can cover it with some plastic wrap or what's called a dome that goes over the flat to keep it a little more moist. And when those start to germinate, that's when you back off on the water and start to let the soil dry out a little bit.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Hey, good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Angie, thanks for the call. Let's back up for just a second here, Ton, and talk about transplant, Chuck. Normally this time of year that's minimized because the temperatures aren't so bad, but her description of a couple of days ago would have put it right at the 90-degree day we were having, and we actually had a couple of them back-to-back.
Yes, and that transplant shock, a lot of times you'll plant petunias or marigolds, and even in cooler weather, they will get a little wilty for a day or two until they kind of get their roots reestablished and figure out that they're going to be okay. And it's really common for those, you know, to wilt down when they're first planted, but I even see it sometimes a week or two later, you know, they might have some residual stress. You know, and strawberries being strawberries, though, I'm pretty confident that they'll recover without any problems because they grow so aggressively.
Yeah. But those 90 degree days smack dab in the middle of spring didn't help everything.
No, and that definitely could have done it.
Yeah. All right. Nancy, you're next in Midvale. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse. Nice to have you.
Thank you. We have a flowering pear tree that is probably 20 years old. It has always sent up suckers right close to the trunk that we just have cut off. But all of a sudden this year, it's shooting them clear out into the lawn, maybe 10 feet, and the lawnmower doesn't even, you know, completely remove them. What is going on?
Well, the pears, the flowering pears, are grafted onto a rootstock, and sometimes when you have those grafts, one pear won't throw off any suckers at all, and another one will quite extensively. My little sister manages some apartments up in Logan, and I help her out with that a little bit, and I'll cut the pear sucker sprouts off the park strip trees. And like I said, a few pears will have zero, and some it takes me 20 or 30 minutes to get them all. And it's just the nature of the graft. Sometimes, even though the trees are alive and look healthy, the graft may not take completely. And if that doesn't happen, then the rootstock has a tendency to throw off a lot of suckers because it knows that something's not quite right at that graft union. And there's really nothing you can do short of cutting them off. Now, I mentioned a product earlier called Sucker Stopper that you can purchase from most any local farm store or garden center, and you clip those suckers and then spray the Sucker Stopper on, and from that point that you spray, it won't generate any more suckers for the year. And it's not to say that it won't from another root, but you can greatly reduce the number of suckers using that product for the season, but you're always going to be treating it because it's a chronic problem with the rootstock.
Why would it start all of a sudden sending them out so far?
I wish I could tell you on that. I'm the biology on those trees and things, they just, you know, as they get more mature, they'll throw off more sucker sprouts. It could have been that the root was injured for some reason. There's lots of reasons it would start to do it, but some pears just have a tendency to do that. Now, one other thing you'll want to look at is to make sure those are coming off a root, because those pears, they're not fruitless. They produce little pears that have seeds in them, and you know they will also germinate around the tree. And so if you had a heavy crop last year, that could be another thing to look at.
Well, you know, another thing that happened when we had that wild wind the other day it blew all kinds of little crispy stem things off of the tree onto the sidewalk and driveway and things. And that's never happened before either.
They could have been old flower parts or possibly dried fruit that were left on from over the winter. And I would go, if the tree looks healthy, go ahead and just sweep them up or let the wind do it and blow them into the neighbor's yard. That's fine too.
Good idea.
And then kind of just go from there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I sure enjoy you guys' program and your help.
Thank you.
All right. Nancy, thanks. Good to hear from you. Yeah, when in doubt, let Mother Nature push it into somebody else's yard for a problem. Love it. Teresa coming up in Draper, but we'll have to take our break here. We'll come back and open up the phones, of course, now. If you want to get in line, we've got time to get you before the top of the hour. This is just the first of three, as always, for another week at the Greenhouse. So KSL Talk, 575-8255. Utah County, 470-5751. Davis and Weber County, 670-5751. Thanks, as always, for making the KSL Greenhouse part of your weekend plans. And we'll be back with Teresa's call and your call next.
People at Sugar House Awning, they're in their third generation, family-owned for over 70 years. And you know, my family has had a great relationship with Sugar House Awning for, you know, I don't know how many years, going certainly back to the days when they were in Sugar House. They're in Midvale now. They've done all kinds of work for the Doug Wright household over the years. Everything from the awnings on the front of our home to taking care of repairs on our boat cover. They do everything from AC covers, trampoline pads, tire covers, fountain covers, banners, signs, and tarps. They do it all, everything 100% custom. Almost anything you can think of certainly can be done with an unmatched level of quality and service. Master Craftsman Certified, the only one in the state. Cutting edge design, Sugar House Awning Industries. I love their slogan, get out and live. They can help in the yard. They can help on your patio. Online, go to sugarhouseawning.com, sugarhouseawning.com, or call 563-9600. That's 563-9600.
Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutri-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutri-Mulch.com. Let's talk turkey. Premium turkey manure compost from Nutri-Mulch. Putting Nutri-Mulch in your ground before planting assures that you have a nutrient-rich and plant-friendly medium in which to produce the finest crops, flowers, and shrubs. Using lesser compost cheats your plants and hurts production. So this year, don't chicken out and use inferior products. You could end up with just a load of bull. Always use Nutri-Mulch before you plant. Nutri-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutri-Mulch.com.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
You two must be proud of Johnny.
Oh, we sure are.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
So he's got a job at the dealership, right?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, right, the dealership. You know, he just started there and...
Actually, it's been about 6 weeks.
Has it been that long?
And what's he doing there?
Well, he does a bit of... Helen, what?
Detailing.
Yeah, right, detailing. Gotta have a beautiful car if you're gonna sell it, you know.
He just loves it. He really does.
Actually, Tom, he hates washing cars. He just thinks it's a good opportunity to let the boss see he's a hard worker so we can move into sales.
But he's happy doing what he does. You know, that's my Johnny. He pushes through that. He's a forward thinker.
And he graduates next year, right?
Oh, no, no, no. He's still...
Yes, he does, Tom.
Oh, Johnny? Sure, Johnny graduates next year. I thought you were talking about...
Who, Tom?
Need to get closer to your family?
So, Larry, you've got kids? Let's talk about them.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
NutriMulch reminds you that the First Amendment to your soil's constitution should always be NutriMulch. You see, without this important amendment, you would never get to the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms full of produce away from your garden to protect your family's security. NutriMulch gives us all the freedom from progressive soil deterioration. NutriMulch gives us the freedom to use less water. NutriMulch provides freedom to be more productive. E Pluribus NutriMulch. NutriMulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See NutriMulch.com. Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutra-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See Nutra-Mulch.com.
Or at least make your neighbors jealous with KSL News Radio.
All right, real quick, let's get back to the phones here. Teresa, next up in Draper, welcome into the greenhouse.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
A couple of years ago, we made a little flower garden. It kind of butted up against a fence. And so we planted cattails along the border of it, up by the fence. And they have, the first year they were beautiful. Now they've like taken over the whole garden. They've moved out onto the grass. And so we're just wondering how we can kill some of that or at least keep it under control.
Control cattails is to dig them if possible and just remove the roots. They will eventually spread back in because they spread by those roots. They're called rhizomes. But digging them is pesticide-free, and it is effective. Some other things you might look at include Roundup. But, you know, if it's in a wetter area, you need to use a form of Roundup or glyphosate that's labeled for those wet areas. And the critical time is, if it's very wet, the critical time to put the Roundup down is when they start to shoot the seed head up, because that's when the roots have the least amount of energy in them.
Okay.
With that being said, if you're trying to save some of them and not others, those roots are interconnected, and so you may have some residual damage that gets into other plants that are beneficial. And so I would be cautious with that one and use it as a last case scenario if nothing else works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just spray it on?
Yes, and just spray it on. And now spray if you get it on the grass or other plants, the glyphosate in there will kill anything that it touches. And yeah. So you may actually have to get, I don't know if you've ever seen the long plastic gloves that you might be able to use for dishes, or farmers will sometimes use them when they're doing work with cows that go up to their elbows, or the, you know, that sort of style of glove. And then you'd put a cotton glove over the top of that, and you might have to rub it on paintbrush style so that you can keep the glyphosate off of the beneficial or the desirable plants.
Okay. All right. Well, good. We'll try it.
Give it a shot and good luck. Those cattails are very invasive sometimes.
Yeah. They're beautiful, but taking over everything.
Yeah. All right, Teresa. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Good luck with what sounds like a project now. And that's a good example, Ton, of knowing what you're going to put in a particular space and what the downsides are in the future, isn't it?
Yes. I know that Doug up at J&J, who's their pond guy, when I talk to him about cattails and different things, he always recommends actually planting such things in a big nursery pot, like a 20 or 25-gallon nursery pot, because then they don't spread nearly as readily. Now, they might escape out the drainage holes in the bottom, but that's much more easily contained than having it in the native soil, and that's one management technique that Doug recommends quite often that works well.
Good idea. All right, let's go to Orem. Dot's on the line there. Hi, Dot. Welcome in.
Hi. Thank you. I have just a little garden, but I grow raspberries, and I've had this problem in the years past. What happens is they get white on the end and curl up, some kind of disease. And what can I do for it?
Is the white a powdery substance on the leaves that causes the curling?
It looks just like they've been sunburned, but of course they aren't. They're all, if I crunch them in my hands, it'll just crunch apart.
There are so many things that get into raspberries that sometimes it's difficult to tell outright. The most common thing I can think of is a condition called iron chlorosis, to where the leaves will turn light green and then yellow and then white. And when they turn white, they scorch in the sun because they have no natural protection at that point. And if the entire leaf is turning white and the veins are a little bit yellow or green, that's what it would be. But there's viral diseases that could be causing that, and possibly some other nutrient deficiencies. Have you applied any iron to the raspberries?
No, I really haven't done that. But it just happens. They don't change a lot of colors. They all of a sudden just get white on the tip, and they're just solid white right out on the tip of the plant. And then I go over and I can just crunch it in my hand, but it isn't the whole leaf. It's just the ends of them.
Dot, what I'll have you do is, when it happens, either take some pictures or get some samples and bring them into the Utah County Extension Office down in the Provo Administration Building, the County Administration Building down there. And we'll look at them physically to see if we can figure out. I suspect that you also may have some borer problems. The raspberry cane borer and the raspberry horntail could cause that also.
Would they be out now, though, this early? They
possibly could. You start spraying for one of those as early as you start seeing new growth. And I don't know that you'd see the symptoms yet. And that's why I want a sample brought in, because the raspberries, I mean, for as good as they are, they're a real pain sometimes because they are susceptible to so many different things. And so if you could bring some into the county administration building, I'd appreciate it, and we'll look at them.
What happens if I let it keep going? Eventually, it just kills the whole plant.
Okay.
It'll just kill the whole plant and fall over.
It could be a fungal disease, but you say raspberries and you almost automatically have to say disease, pest problems that go follow along with those, because they are, you know, quite a high maintenance plant.
Well, let's get it diagnosed, and then maybe we can save the rest of those plants for you, Dot. And Ton is down there in Utah County, so
okay. Can I just go in any time or call? Or
between 8 and 5 or between 9 and 5, there's someone there almost all the time. And we have an actual diagnostic desk that you can come up to. And if for whatever reason they're not there, I'm oftentimes in the office too. So there's always someone there to look at it.
Right down at the Utah County building.
Yes. And